How could somebody allow that to happen? What a travesty. What a horrible thing to happen for a non-believer to have their child baptized in a church. Ridiculous. Didn't matter whether I believed. God was there in that moment.
That's just ahead on today's Guerrilla Christianity. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and this is Guerrilla Christianity. The first Sunday after Epiphany is Baptism of the Lord Sunday, and it marks the beginning of the season after Epiphany. This Sunday is a sort of liturgical bookend for this season, which ends with the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, which is called Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. In 2017, this season encompasses 8 weeks, and so for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at a sermon series called The Great Invitation. We're going to be looking at what it means to be evangelistic, what evangelism means, and how we can be a more evangelistic church. All Christians are called to evangelize. We are all called by the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that God has commanded us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so as we begin this series, we are reminded in the baptism of the Lord to remember our baptism and rejoice. We identify with Jesus because He too was baptized as we are. And as Paul said, we are baptized into His death, and we are also raised into His resurrection. And so through the baptism, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus, He identifies with us, and we identify with Him. So we begin our series with a sermon titled, The Heavens Are Open, talking about the baptism of Jesus Christ from the text in Matthew's Gospel. So if you have your Bible open, turn it to Matthew chapter 3 and join us as we begin this series with The Heavens Are Open.
We're beginning a new sermon series. This sermon series is going to encompass the 8 weeks between the Epiphany and Ash Wednesday, otherwise known as Ordinary Time. We call it Ordinary Time not because it's ordinary, not because it's boring, but because we count the weeks. We count the weeks after Epiphany, and they call it the Ordinal Time, so it's Ordinary Time. So this is the first week after the Epiphany, and we're going to be spending the next 8 weeks looking at evangelism. The title of the series is The Great Invitation, because we invite people to Christ. God invites people to know Him more, and so that is the Great Invitation, and we are part of that. God uses people to call people to Him. And so for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at this great invitation. And we're going to begin with this week, which is observed in the church calendar as Baptism of the Lord. And so let us read the text for us today, the baptism of Jesus, Matthew chapter 3 and beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Father God, open your heavens to us now. Let your Spirit descend upon us like a dove, that we may hear your good news and carry it into the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at what evangelism is and how we can be evangelists, because that's what we are called to do. Jesus, as he was ascending into heaven, said to his followers, Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We found that in Matthew chapter 28, and that is what we call the Great Commission, because we are sent. We are sent into the world to proclaim the good news, to baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are called by God to go out and not just hold to ourselves the good news which has been revealed to us, but to declare it to all the world, to bring others to Christ. Think about this for a moment. You're sitting here today because someone shared the good news with you. Now, you might think to yourself, well, I don't remember anybody sharing the good news with me. And besides, I've been coming here since I was a little baby, you know. So, well, your parents shared the good news with you. As parents, we share the good news with our children, with our children's children. We're even told to do that in Deuteronomy. We are told to speak about it when we're going out and when we come in, to keep the words always with us. And so we are called to proclaim the good news. Evangelism is a word that comes from a Greek word. The noun means good news. And the verb of the word means to announce good news. Evangelism is announcing good news. We are proclaiming to the world the good news. We as Christians have good news, but how often do we share it? When we have good news, we want to tell everybody. We want to announce it to the world. When we know that a child has been born, we tell people, oh, you know, so-and-so had a baby. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You know, last night the Seattle Seahawks beat the Detroit Lions, and I'm ecstatic. You know, I'm a big Seahawks fan, bigger Eagles fan, but they're not in it. So I hang my coat on the Seahawks for the postseason. And it's fun to share good news when we have good news. Well, this is the best news of all. And very rarely do we share it. So we're going to look at that for the next 8 weeks, how we can be better evangelists, how we can carry the good news to the world, how we can announce the good news. Text tells us that Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And that word baptize is a Greek word which literally means to dip or to immerse in water. To dip or to immerse in water. There were baptismal fonts. Baptism was a practice of the Jews. They would wash in order to be made ritually clean so that they could enter into the temple. And so just outside the temple, there were all of these baptismal baths, actually, called mikvahs. And you would walk down into the mikvah and you would dip yourself in the water, which was flowing through. It was constantly flowing water, living water, if you will. And they would come out the other side. They would be ritually pure, ritually clean, and then they could go into the temple and do their business. So John wasn't doing anything radical by baptizing people, but what he was doing radically was he was baptizing them in the Jordan River, about 20 miles away from Jerusalem. And the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all had a problem with this. The religious people had a real big problem with him baptizing people in the Jordan River. The Jordan River is a muddy river. It's not something, a river where you would typically think that you would go and bathe to be made clean. It's dirty. It's muddy. It's kind of like Olman's Creek. You know, it's very, you know, I wouldn't go swimming or bathe in that. I wouldn't bathe in that and then come to church, you know, and everybody, woo, where have you been, you know? Well, that's sort of the same way with the Jordan River. But here was John, and he was baptizing people in the water. But he was baptizing them with a message of repentance. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so this baptism was a symbol of their repentance, of their being washed and made clean of their sin. By turning away from their sin, God would remember their sin no more. And so they would be washed clean. So it was a symbol of their washing. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And we're told that John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John recognized that this was no ordinary man. This was the Lamb of God. In fact, that's what he calls him in the book of John. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John recognized that Jesus had no sins for which he had to repent. So why would Jesus be coming down to be baptized? Well, Jesus was entering into his public ministry, and he would identify with those whom he came to save. Jesus answered him and said, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Now, he's not saying, you know, "I need to be made righteous, and so I need to be baptized." What he's saying is, it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness. Not just the righteousness of one person, but the righteousness of all the world. You see, we are baptized as he was baptized. And when we make a decision to follow him, we are crucified with him. And we are raised to new life with him in the resurrection. In every way, Jesus identified with us as a man. He lived among us. He was tempted in every way, but he knew no sin. But he carried our sin to the cross. So Jesus said, this must be done now in order to fulfill all righteousness. See, in Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Christ's righteousness is imparted upon us at baptism when we turn and we are reborn. As Jesus said, by water and the Spirit, we are born anew. We are born again. And when we are born again, we are brand new creations. We are new creations. The old has passed away and the new has come. And God transforms us. We become born into the world of the Spirit rather than the world of the flesh. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so we are baptized with Christ into new life. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And again in Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." That's the purpose. That's why Jesus went down to the Jordan to be baptized, not to repent of his own sin, because he had no sin to repent of, but to enter into life with us so that we could enter into life with him. So then John consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. The heavens were opened. The realm of God touched the realm of man in this moment. God came into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. This was a visible pairing of the world with the God who created it. A visible pairing. People saw it. The Spirit of God descending on like a dove and alighting on him. We read this in all four Gospels, this account, that the Spirit of God descended like a dove and alighted on Jesus. In John 1, John the Baptist bears witness. He says, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." In all four Gospels, we read this account. And then in Acts chapter 10, what did we read today? From the words of Peter, "You know yourselves what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John had proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem." That's what we are as Christians. We are witnesses. We are witnesses to the goodness of Christ as he acted in us. The Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. You see, Jesus, in his opening statement to the people, went into the synagogue in Nazareth and he read the words from Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Those words from Isaiah 61, Jesus read in the synagogue that day. Then he closed up the scroll and he sat down, all eyes upon him, and he said, "I tell you the truth. This day, these words have been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came to proclaim the good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He came as an evangelist. He came to proclaim the good news. And so, in verse 17, a voice from heaven, unmistakably the voice of God himself, said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." God himself testifies to the mission and legitimacy of Jesus Christ. God himself testifies. God the Father proclaims the Son proclaims the Father, and the Holy Spirit proclaims them both. And they both proclaim the Holy Spirit. What is the good news? How can we proclaim it if we don't know what it is? Can we say with assurance what the good news is? If the only verse in the Bible you've ever memorized is John 3:16, then you know the good news. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That's the good news. "Because those who do not believe will perish." We are told in verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." These are the words of Christ. If you have a red letter Bible, you find those words written in red because they are the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. "The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." See, that's the bad news. And sometimes in order to appreciate the good news and how good it is, we need to know what the bad news is first. The good news is meaningless if we don't know what the bad news is. The bad news is that we are born into a world of sin, that we love darkness rather than the light because our works are evil. That's how we're born. You might look down at a young baby and think, "That's how is that possible?" Wait until they're two. You know? You'll find out. People love the darkness rather than the light. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Because we would much rather be doing what we want rather than what we ought. And when we get caught, it makes us feel uncomfortable. Why does it make us feel uncomfortable? Why do you think we feel conviction? Why do you think we feel guilt? Those things are in us. They're written on our hearts because the law of God has been written on our hearts. Because we know we've been touched by the hand of God. See, baptism as a child, as a baby, a lot of times Christians get hung up on the fact that baptism is a dedication, or they might even call it a christening or a dedication of a child. But baptism is so much more than that. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, of an inward reality, of a reality where God loves the world. God loves the world. We're His creation, and He loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His Son for us. And so, baptism is a sign. And when we baptize a child, the Spirit of God is there. That's why we don't baptize once as a child and baptize again as an adult. Because we believe in God's prevenient grace. What does that mean? Prevenient grace. That's the grace of God that meets us before we even know who He is. As a baby, as a young child growing up, might not even know who God is. Maybe we were even raised in a house where God is never spoken of. Maybe the parents brought the child to be baptized just because it's something to do. I know that. I know that because I did that to my oldest children. To my two oldest children. They were baptized at a time when I didn't even believe in God. How could somebody allow that to happen? What a travesty. What a horrible thing to happen for a non-believer to have their child baptized in a church. Ridiculous. It didn't matter whether I believed. God was there in that moment. God doesn't act because we believe in Him. God acts because He acts. God acts because it's His will. And so in that moment, not only was I actually dedicating my children to a life with God, but I was being dedicated myself. Baptism reaches so many different levels. In that moment, God began to act in my life. And act in the life of my children as well. And I didn't raise them in church. They never set foot in a Sunday school growing up. They never heard the name of God. Oh, we talk about Jesus at Christmas time, you know. Maybe at Easter time. But it didn't matter because God's grace goes before. That's what prevenient grace is. Before we even know who He is, before we even give our lives to Him, God begins to act in our lives. God loves the world. The world doesn't love God, but God loves the world. So this is the good news. We are born into this world as sinners and deserving of death. But God came into this world of sin, born without sin, never knowing sin, yet identifying with sinful man in every way. He was baptized as we are. He bore our sins to the cross. He died our death and was raised again to live forevermore, that we too might live forever. That's the good news. We who have received the good news ought not to keep it to ourselves. We ought to be chomping at the bit, unable to contain the joy that is within us. So the question remains. Why then is it so difficult for us to tell others the good news? of all the good news we can tell. We share our lives on Facebook and on Twitter. We take pictures of our meals on Instagram. We talk about good weather and sports victories with our friends. Yet how many of us ever said to the ones we love, Jesus Christ died for me and gave me eternal life, and he can do the same for you? This is evangelism. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to be talking about this great invitation. We can't keep it to ourselves. We need to share it to all the world. So here is my great invitation. This week, go home and tell someone how Jesus saved your life and will save theirs too. Plant the seed, and God will grow it in their lives. Heavenly Father, we desire boldness in proclaiming your good news. The news we share with our friends and family seems so small compared to the greatness of your love and grace. We ask that the heavens be opened again. Touch this world. Pour out your Spirit upon your beloved children, that we may go forth and proclaim all that you have done. You loved the world so much that you gave your own beloved Son, so that we who believe will not perish in eternity, but have eternal life with you. What an amazing promise, Lord. Words cannot convey our gratitude, but let our actions be a sign of our faith in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You know, each year through the Methodist tradition, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord with a remembrance of our baptismal vows and with a reaffirmation of those vows. Because many of us, myself included, were baptized as infants, we don't necessarily remember our baptism. However, that does not hold true for everyone. As we found out today, this day in Ebenezer, and I want to share a special moment that happened there at the end when we were going through our baptismal vows, because it was something that I wasn't prepared for and it was something that I did not plan on. But it happened anyway, because it happened in God's time. Here, give a listen.
As you come to the water, I invite you to come down the aisle here and just dip your hand into the water. Feel the coolness of the water. Feel the love, the gentle kiss of God. And know that you have been baptized. And remember your baptism and rejoice. Before we go further, it occurs to me that we do this every year and I never ask this question. But is there anybody here who has never been baptized? Would you like to be baptized today?
Yes.
Why don't you come on down? And I didn't know why I was going to ask that question. But I'm standing here and I'm thinking, I need to ask this question. So I thank you. Thank you. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
To the church, I ask, will you nurture this person in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world?
I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Nettie Lee Whitehead, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's welcome our new sister in Christ.
So I want to congratulate and welcome our sister in faith, Nettie Whitehead, who She put her hand up and she proclaimed her faith right then and there in front of everybody. And I feel blessed as her pastor to have been able to baptize her right there on the spot. We had the water. As the Ethiopian said to Philip in the book of Acts, "Look, here is water. What is to keep me from being baptized?" And so we welcome our sister in faith, and what an amazing act of God it was, and what a sight to behold and be able to participate in that moment. And so I would like to invite you, if you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service at 9 a.m., and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week, Monday nights and Thursday nights. And right now we're studying the Promised Land of the Bible through the teachings of Ray Vanderlaan called That the World May Know. Now, if this teaching today has touched you in some way, we would love to hear from you either by email at pastorbrettumc@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the podcast page. And if this podcast makes a difference in your life, won't you share it on the social media platform of your choice? You can access this podcast through the Podbean app on Android or on iTunes. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you today is that God will continue to touch your heart and bring you to a place where you can experience His love and His grace through Jesus Christ. Amen.